In her recent post on WBUR's Common Health blog, Rachel Zimmerman writes, "Let's be clear, I need a dog like a hole in the head." Here's why she wrote that. Rachel's husband died recently, leaving her on her own to raise two extremely active young daughters. And truth be told, she's not really a dog person. So why add the burden and bother of a dog to an already challenging time? Well, it turns out modern brain science suggests there are good reasons to do so. Rachel Zimmerman is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog and is here to talk about what we've learned about the connection between dogs and people. And Rachel, good to see you.
Hey, Anthony.
And I do want to say that I am very, very sorry for your loss, but thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And as we mentioned, you write that you're not really a dog person. So why is this idea grabbing at you, particularly at this challenging time in your life?
Well, my daughters and I have experienced an excruciating loss. At one point in all of this, my daughter said to me, "Are we ever going to be happy again?" Mm. And so I feel it's my job to make sure that my kids are happy again. My kids love dogs. And so I started exploring really the unthinkable because we'd never planned to get a dog. And I just thought, wouldn't it be great for my kids to have someone else to worry about?
And someone else other than their mother, you
other
mean.
Than me.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're concerned about me. And as my daughter said, we need another life in the house.
You have relatives who have been advising you that this would be the worst thing, the worst time for you to do this, right?
Oh, my God. Advising. They're literally on their knees begging me not to get a dog. I mean, we're dealing with so much, you can imagine. The kids are 8 and 11. And, you know, they basically say the last thing you need is to worry about walking the dog at 6 a.m.
Now, Rachel, you started doing some research and found some really interesting studies about human-dog connection. So tell me what you found out about this.
Over the years, there have been a number of research studies showing the emotional, mental health, physical benefits of pet ownership, dogs in particular. I wrote last year about a study that said dogs can boost your self-esteem and they can make teenagers more compassionate. And of course, just getting out and having to walk your dog promotes physical activity. And so there have been a number of studies over the years that show the benefits in general.
Well, Rachel, let's introduce a researcher who has looked into this very subject recently. Lori Pally is an assistant director of veterinary services at Massachusetts General Hospital's Center for Comparative Medicine, and she's with us now. Lori, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Anthony.
You wanted to understand the neuroscience behind the human-pet bond after watching your own late father decline. He suffered from Parkinson's. What did you learn about the kind of impact that dogs can have on the sick and the infirm?
During his decline, one of the things I was looking to do was provide for his quality of life as much as I possibly could. And he loved dogs. Hmm. There were mornings when he would get up totally looking forward to the dog and just asking about the dog and looking forward to that for the day.
So it really made a difference in his quality of life, it sounds like, the dog.
Very clearly. Yeah. I mean, it was obvious, and you'd see his face light up. It was almost, some of the nurses spoke to the fact that it was almost like his motivation some days for getting excited about getting up.
So you did research, if I have this right, and it was published recently in the journal Plus One.
You are correct.
And it scanned the brains of women as they looked at images of their own children and of their dogs. So tell me what you found.
In this case, the mothers viewed images of their own child, their own dog, an unfamiliar child and an unfamiliar dog. What we sought out to do was actually compare the two relationships. And what we found, basically, was that when mothers looked at images or pictures of their own dog, and they looked at pictures of their own child, that, in fact, similar areas lit up.
Hmm.
And some of those areas relate to emotion, relate to the reward system, relate to visual processing, facial recognition. And we also found some meaningful and sort of important differences as well. What's interesting about the differences is that when mothers looked at pictures of their own child, there was an area in the midbrain called the ventral tegmental area that actually lit up, so to speak. Whereas when mothers looked at pictures of their own dog, we didn't see this.
Hmm.
And this happens to be an area that is critical to bond formation.
Tell me what you think, sort of what the takeaway is from this in terms of the way we respond emotionally to a dog. What is that?
The study would suggest, and again, it's a small study. There's 14 women. What they actually mean in the context of the relationship, however, is not clear.
I see.
There is something deep going on, mm-hmm. both in the way that people relate to dogs, and it's not so far from how we connect with our children. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's different, but... You know, I have a close friend, one of the women who's really been pushing me to get a dog, and she said to me, what have dogs done for me? They make me more human.
I like that. I believe that.
And I believe that, too. And just like having children, there's no perfect time, and there's so many reasons not to do it. But on a very deep, non-rational, intangible level, it's... probably the best thing that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. So if having a dog is even, you know, one millionth of that power, mm-hmm. then I think it could be a good thing.
So, Rachel, can I assume then that you have decided to get a dog?
Well, I'm, sounds like you it. Know, I'm still researching, but I'm definitely leaning in the pro-dog direction.
So, Lori, I want to come back to you for one final question. What's the next step in the research that has to happen to understand this human-dog relationship?
Well, I think there are a number of possible next steps, right? There is a group, there's two groups, actually, that are looking at the dog side of the relationship because we don't spend a lot of time on that. And they actually have trained dogs to lay in a scanner,
wow.
unsedated, and seeing what's going on, they can scan their brains to see what's going on in response to olfactory triggers, auditory signals from their owners. And so that's a really fascinating part, too. For me, I have to say that pets really, for many people, hold a special place in their lives.
All right. Well, that's Lori Pally. She's an assistant director of veterinary services at Massachusetts General Hospital Center for Comparative Medicine. Mm-hmm. Lori Pally, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And WBUR's Rachel Zimmerman is co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Rachel, thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.
And listeners, you can find a link to Rachel's Common Health piece at radioboston.org. Take a look at it. Tell us what you think. And stay with us. Coming up, the strange mixture of popular culture, superheroes, feminism, and bondage that led to the creation of Wonder Woman. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.